We have some now. Hot diggity dog. Did I take it with me? Would the Senate please come to order? Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, March 2nd. Anderson. Here. Barnard. Here. Bebout. Here. Boner. Here. Burns. Here. Case. Present. Christensen. Here. Coe. Here. Cooper. Here. Kraft. Dockstetter, Driscoll, here. Emmerich, here. Escobel, here. Geis, here. Hastert, here. Hicks, here. Johnson, here. Kinski, here. Landon, here. Meyer, here. Pappas, here. Perkins, here. Peterson, here. Ross, here. Rothfuss, here. Scott, Bonflatern, Wasserberger, here. President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Reverend Frank, if you please lead us with the prayer.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank you for another day that you have given to us. And as we gather here, we ask for your blessing upon the business before us. We ask that you would help us with the responsibility that has been given to us, that we would take seriously the task that you have laid out, that we would come before you right now and ask for wisdom, guidance, and direction, that we may execute the tasks to the best of our ability and to your honor and your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
With the reading clerk, let's start over here. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 1, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. 18 days we've adopted your report. You must be on a roll. Let's see, new business of the day. Dr. Christina Beringer is our doctor from Cheyenne, and she's not here yet, so we'll introduce her when she arrives. There's no nurse of the day. Today in Wyoming history, 1950, the 7th Judicial District was created by the legislature. The 7th Judicial District encompasses Natrona County. I think at that time it included Natrona County, Fremont, and Teton. It was a big district. Session status. Today is day 18 of the proposed 20-day session. It's coming to the end. Today is the last day for third reading on bills in the second house. I assume you all know that. We have some concurrences. Senator Pappas.
The privilege of the floor.
You may.
Today we have some guests visiting us, some young minds from an elementary school just a few blocks west of us. So I would like the lady and gentlemen of the Senate to please help me welcome Angel Decker's fifth grade class from Henderson Elementary.
Welcome. We're glad to have you. You can watch us inside the fishbowl.
Grade school.
Yeah.
That was Senator Ross's grade school?
That was my grade school.
His grade
school. We hope you'll all do better than he. We're concurrence reports. Let's see. Senator Coe. Are you ready with respect to Senate File 32? Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Message number 235, referencing Senate File number 32, Alternative School Accountability.
Senator Cole, let me give you your mic.
Message number 235, concurrence on Senate File 32, Alternative School Accountability, and ask the body to vote no. Mr. President, what... the House did. They did four different things, and if you'll notice on the first page, they actually adopted some new language, which is probably fine. That's in the Standing Committee Amendment. Then if you go page three, you'll see the Committee of the Whole Amendment over there, and this is just conforming language with the passage of what's ahead of that. You'll see on page four, they insert a new paragraph, which is probably okay. It says, prior to the Legislative Service Office contracting with any consultant under this section, a vote shall be taken of the Joint Education Interim Committee to provide their recommendation regarding any proposed contract. But, Mr. President, if you go back to Standing Committee Amendment number 2, this is where we have some heartburn. What they really do in this amendment is they delete the involvement of the Select Committee on Accountability. They totally delete that, and they assign that work under the Wyoming Accountability and Education Act that we passed in 2011 to the Joint Education Committee. Mr. President, I can tell you that the Joint Education Committee has plenty to do without taking on the function of accountability. You go to page 2, you'll see on page 8, line 14 through 20, they delete that. They take out the technical advisory committee that has been, I think, just absolutely wonderful as far as the accountability function goes, because it's composed of stakeholders and others in conjunction with our consultants that have done incredible work. Page on page 2 as well, lines 10, page 10, lines 1 through 9, they eliminate the reporting function that comes back to JAC and JEC. So, Mr. President, the discussion on taking out the Select Committee on Accountability, we've had that on this floor already. I continue to think that the accountability function needs a Select Committee. Joint Education has plenty to do. If we retain the Select Committee and accountability, which I think we should do, we have that institutional memory going back to 2011. We have a lot of the same members that have participated. This is a huge, huge function. You know, the Select Committee, I think, is we got delayed a little bit for a couple of years with some lack of collaboration. But the ongoing function of accountability is, I think, still vital to the overall efforts in K-12 education, where we spend incredible amounts of money. We're barely into phase one. Phase two is still a work in progress. And so, Mr. President, I'd ask that you vote no on this concurrence request. We'll go over and see if we can teach the House the errors of their ways, and I'd ask that you vote no.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with the House amendments at Senate File number 32, Alternative School Accountability, and you've been asked to vote no. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 1 aye, 29 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with the House amendments to Senate File Number 32, Alternative School Accountability, as reflected in Message Number 235. The Conference Committee on Senate File 32 is as follows. Co-Chairman, Pappas, and Meyer. We're at that order of business of Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Case, are you ready with respect to Senate File 37?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions Party Affiliation, reference House Message Number 225, signed by Representatives Dan Zwanitzer, Stubson, and Wilson, Senators Case, Hicks, and Rothfuss.
Mr. President,
Senator,
I would move the Joint Conference Committee Report to Senate File 37, referencing House Message Number 225.
Point of order was?
I don't believe I signed that. I just want to make sure that that's clarified or clarify that the record is in error. Did I sign that?
Nope.
Looks like you forgot to sign it. No, you didn't.
Would you like to sign it now?
I would not like to sign that and want to make sure that that's...
The record reflect that Senator Rothfuss is unwilling and was not going to concur with this report.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That is
accurate.
That's an accurate statement. Thank you.
Mr. President, I do move Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 37, referencing House Message Number 225. And even though the good senator from Laramie didn't sign it, I think he'd still tell you that this makes it slightly better, but it's to him it's a lipstick on a pig, perhaps, to borrow a partisan term from a presidential election far, far away.
I think the students enjoy it in the back, really enjoyed the lipstick on a pig analogy. They thought that was pretty cool.
Well, Mr. President, this is a good pig. And Mr. President, this is like Charlotte's Web. So, Mr. President, recall that our friends down the hall did three things. They took and took the bill that we sent them and return two boards, one being the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust and the other being the Parks and Cultural Resource Commission, to requiring a partisan split. They also, Mr. President, took the and restored the original language for the Transportation Commission. We had gone to 75%. They restored the original language, which was seven persons, not all from the same party. So that could have been six from one party and one not. Our language would allow and require that the Transportation Commission evolve to a position where there would be two members
that are not from all from the same party. So the conference committee report that you see before you throws out the change that the other body made to the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust. It accepts the change that they made to the Parks and Cultural Resource Commission, and it accepts our change that we made to the Transportation Commission. So the 75% language would also apply to the Transportation Commission. It's a compromise, a good compromise. I ask for your favorable support. Happy to answer any questions. And the good senator can talk about pigs and lipstick all he wants.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd ask the body to vote no on this and potentially send it to a free committee so that we can look at some of the other possibilities. And Mr. President, it's a really bad pig. We think this is not a big deal as a body, that it's just a subtle change and that it's all about having a difficult time finding a few Democrats here and there and that this will remedy that problem. But, Mr. President, this may be one of, if not the most significant piece of legislation that we're going to pass out of this body this year, because it will have long-lasting implications to the makeup of all of the boards and commissions, many of which make important decisions, oversee multi-million-dollar budgets, and decide the fate on a lot of issues that never make it to the legislature. Some of these committees should not be allowed to become political, some of these commissions and boards. As it stands right now, some of our most important boards and commissions, for example, the UW Board of Trustees, the State Board of Education, which have a long-standing tradition of being nonpartisan because you can't allow them to be partisan through the required makeup. Due to geographic difficulties, we are choosing to reject the idea that we wouldn't want it to be partisan because it's inconvenient to meet the geographic needs and the partisan needs. So rather than rejecting the geographic needs, we have chosen to reject the partisan aspect and just say, well, it's okay, it won't change anything. But, Mr. President, I would just caution the body in that this will substantially change the way many of these boards and commissions operate in the future and will have long-lasting implications on the politics and policies that we see promulgated through the boards and commissions. I hope the body will give this some serious thought, vote no, allow a free committee to operate, and maybe go into some of the more sensitive ones and not bite all of this off at one time. If we could tweak four or five of these, it would make a significant difference, and we have that opportunity by voting no, and I hope the body will do so. Thank you, Mr. President.
The motion, any further discussion? Senator, let's go to Senator Scott, and then I'll come back to you. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I do have a technical question. Maybe I don't understand how we're doing these this year, but I see that it deleted two House amendments. I don't see that it accepted any House amendments. And the explanation was that we did accept one of them. Are the accepted ones not showing on the conference committee report the way that we're doing things currently? And so this is just a technical concern. Should we have accepted a House committee amendment, and should that show on the conference report? Or are the ones that we're accepting just not showing on the conference reports?
Let's Senator Case, I'll give you two opportunities to talk. One, let's talk about the technical aspects and make sure the amendment is correct.
Okay, Mr. President, purely on the technical aspect, if you look at the report, the original report, House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 adopted the changes to page 7, that's the Wildlife and Natural Resources Trust, and page 19, that's the Parks and Recreation Cultural Resource Commission. That's the amendments that we're saying delete those amendments. But then if you look on page, the further you amend the engrossed copy as follows, that's page 19, line 1. That is the identical language to the second half of the House amendment. So it's sort of like we delete what the House did, but we put in half of what, return half of what they did in House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. And I think it does track.
Senator Kasich, since I don't have it all in front of me, does the Joint Conference Committee report dispose of all amendments?
It disposes of all amendments and further amends, bringing in the identical concept to the first half of the House amendment, Mr. President.
Senator Scott, does that satisfy you? Senator Perkins, you're standing.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I can weigh in on just a technical explanation.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. So what you do is if you look at Senate File 37, House, it'd be House, so I guess it'd be Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. What that had is they had two in there. If you go to the original message 225, they made changes to page seven, line five, and page 19, line one. The Conference Committee deleted the part of the amendment, page 7, line 1, and then adopted page 19, line 1, adopted that half of the first of the committee amendment. So just in the vernacular that I understand that LSO uses is they delete and further amend the standing committee member number 1 so that they include and then just have the exact same language that was in the half. So the answer to the question is yes, all the House amendments have been dealt with in the concurrence report.
Okay. Senator Scott, are you satisfied with the explanation?
Yes, Mr. President. I misunderstood the initial explanation and thought that one of the other items that had been made nonpartisan was going to be made partisan.
Okay.
And apparently that's not the case. And this accurately reflects the conference committee.
Thank you.
Apologize, Mr. President.
Thank you. And it's for all the members and new members, remember that the Joint Conference Committee, all conference committee reports need to dispose of all amendments, whether they're adopted, accepted, or further amended. So I think we're back now on the merits of the report. Any discussion before the sponsor takes a second time? If not, we're back to Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we had a strong voice from this Senate to accept Senate File 37 as it left. It was a spirited debate. We ended up where we ended up. In moving that bill forward, I will say to you that we took many, I think 5 to 7 boards and made them nonpartisan. The rest went to 75%. That was the structure of the bill. Mr. President, it was returned from our friends down the hall with more partisanship in 3 aspects: the Transportation Commission, the Parks and Cultural Resource Commission, and the Wildlife and Natural Resources Trust. So I'm standing here before you saying they took a bill that we had made, left this body in a particular manner, and made it more partisan. So if the notion that we need to go to a free committee to try to redo the will of this Senate, I just don't believe is accurate. I think we were strong. The process does work. This is certainly within the boundaries of the difference between the two houses, and it's also within the spirit of what we try to achieve and making many boards nonpartisan. I ask for your favorable consideration.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 37, Board and Commission's Party Affiliation. It's referenced in House Message Number 225, and you've been asked by the chairman of the committee to vote no. The minority member has asked you to vote. No. The chairman has asked you to vote aye. The minority member asked you to vote no. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson? Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report for Senate file number 37, referenced in House message number 225. Senator Scott, are you ready with respect to Senate, the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 57?
Yes, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 57, Freestanding Emergency Center, signed by Representatives Larson, Barlow, and Dayton, Senators Scott, Kraft, and Landon.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 57, reference House Message Number 204. Mr. President, what we did, big issue was on page 2 of the bill. They had removed the sentence, "Any freestanding emergency center shall accept as patients all people seeking care regardless of age, Medicare, Medicaid, or other insurance status or ability to pay." That's put in there in good part so that we don't get one of these things, particularly in a community that can only afford to have one, that because of its ownership isn't eligible to take Medicare and Medicaid. And you have then the emergency center and the community can't take all the people in the community. That would be an obvious prescription for disaster. The House had communication from the attorney for the hospital up in Campbell County, who was concerned about some particular language there. And that individual, Mr. President, has been their attorney for a long time and has pretty good understanding of the federal laws that affect them. And what we did in the conference committee was say, okay, we understand what he's doing. He's objecting to the words "all people seeking care," that those words have particular meaning with when you consider them with regard to some of the federal law involved. So what we did as a compromise was we took those words out. So that sentence will now read, "Any freestanding emergency center shall accept patients, regardless of age, Medicare, Medicaid, or other insurance status or ability to pay." That is a standard that everybody can live with. It prevents the evil that we were worried about. It accommodates the views of the attorney up there. I don't know whether he's right or wrong, but he may well be right given his experience, and made everybody happy. We also changed on page 2. They had removed the words "an adequate hospital transfer agreement." They'd removed the words "inadequate." We went to "appropriate." And then there was another piece of that amendment that put a geographic limitation in the House, and the House didn't like its own amendment, so we accommodated them. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the conference report. I think it gives us a good solution, good compromise, and will enable us to deal with any of these things if we get them and deal with them in a way that won't cause hardship in any of our communities that might have to use one if their own hospital proves to no longer be economically viable, Mr. President. So I would urge adoption of the Joint Conference report and would be happy to answer any questions on it.
Explanations, discussions. Senator Meyer.
Well, it seems like when you remove all people, then that leads the ability for the freestanding emergency care center to discriminate. And I'm just wondering who they're going to discriminate against and what would be the basis. Because otherwise you're depriving all people from access. So which people are going to be left outside and which people get inside?
Further questions or discussions before the sponsor takes his second time? If not, back to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the concern from the attorney from Campbell County was that that language would force them to accept as patients, people whose complaint was not an emergency that they could treat or could stabilize and do something with, but people who had very long-term chronic illnesses, some of which could be quite expensive. And the concern was that you could get, the requirement is these emergency centers have a transfer agreement with a hospital if they're not owned by the hospital. Not part of it. So his point of view was that no hospital in its right mind would sign a transfer agreement with a emergency center that had such a provision because they could get then transferred to them people who were not emergencies but who had long-term, chronic, very expensive illnesses that ought to be dealt with elsewhere. And given the state of the federal law, he may well be right. So it would possibly block off if somebody had, say, Mr. President, a very expensive cancer that required hospital treatment. They couldn't come in through this emergency room and get in that way. Mr. President, I have no idea whether he's right or not, but he may well be. And this may be a problem we've got generally, but the concern was that the lawyers wouldn't let any hospital sign such a transfer agreement, and then this whole system would be just non-workable, and we may need it in some of our smaller communities.
The motion is that the Senate do adopt, Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File Number 57, Freestanding Emergency Center. If the Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report referencing Senate File Number 57 as reflected in House Message Number 204. Senator Case, are you ready with respect to patent trolling?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 65, Patent Trolling, signed by Representatives Kirkbride, Kinner, and Laux, Senators Case, Cooper, and Rothfuss.
Mr. President, I would move the Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 65, referencing House message...
Blank.
That message. This is the bill we discussed, I believe it was yesterday, Mr. President, on patent trolling. Some fine members of this Senate pointed out that some of the changes that our friends made down the hall weren't that great. Mr. President, they did two things. You remember they deleted on page 4, line 16 and 17, and that's the person offers to license the patent for an unreasonable amount. We had some discussion about that, Mr. President, but we had more discussion on the next line, which says the original language in the bill said the person knew or should have known that the claim of patent infringement is unenforceable. Recall that our friends changed should have known to believed, and it was very correctly pointed out by the good members of this body that is not an objective standard in law. So what we've done is sat down with our friends, and we restored the language the person knew or should have known, which I think is the most important piece. The second thing was about the unreasonable amount. We had quite a discussion about that, Mr. President. We ended up leaving that in as the compromise reached here. And I would just point out to you this way, that's a pretty undefined term, what an leasing for an unreasonable amount is. If I was a patent trolling person and I wanted to target you, I would probably not try to do an unreasonable amount, because if I asked you for $1 million to look at your wireless system, for example, or to run your wireless system, you're going to throw that in the trash. You're going to realize. But if I asked you for $50, that might be reasonable. But, of course, he doesn't have the right to do that. But you're more likely to write the check for the $50. So we had quite a discussion about that, and I think we came out and decided that the bill was probably even improved by taking those two lines out. So we have absolutely restored the should have known language, and we ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, it's written as all the typical ones. Everything is deleted that the second house did, and we further amend by removing their new language to lines 19 and 20. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader, if you'd please come forward.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Floor Leader. I don't know if I did a good job of explaining what my concern was, but I think this is the way I would describe it. Patent law is a federal animal, and we have no jurisprudence in Wyoming with respect to patent law, patent violations. When I read the language of the original bill, it looks to me like it's identical language that has been used in the federal patent law system. And by adopting the federal language, you bring with it all the jurisprudence that exists for the United States that has been generated with respect to patent law and trolling, which is a fairly complicated and very technical term, a field of art. By rejecting this amendment, it appears to me that you're rejecting one of the elements that is adopted and is part of the federal patent law system. And you might say, geez, it looks subjective to us. But by adopting all of the federal patent law, you then pick up all the jurisprudence. If you choose to elect to eliminate one of the elements that's in federal patent law, are you rejecting the federal patent law so that Wyoming now has to create its own patent law system to figure out what is meant? Those terms of art that you've described are defined, and there's case law out there. If you are not certain to that answer, this is a field of art that is so concentrated and so heavily embedded in federal law, I would urge you to reject the conference committee report, go back and understand the answer. But, folks, we should not be adopting laws in Wyoming with respect to patent enforcement and trolling, things like that, that are different from the federal law that's adopted and in place in the United States. And I think that what you've done here, whether you meant it, whether it was advertently, inadvertently, or unintentionally, you have rejected federal law with respect to elements. That's not something we should be doing. You need to adopt all of the federal law with respect to this to bring in the jurisprudence. So in the event that the sponsor is unable to say that, yes, indeed, we are taking it back to federal law, or if he's able to say, I simply don't know the answer of that, and we should find the, then I ask you to vote no. Go back to the author and our staff and find out if these terms of art came from federal law. And if so, the House simply needs to yield, because we're not here on this body, on these readings, trying to change federal patent law and apply a different law to patents in Wyoming, which you can't do anyway, because you cannot preempt. The federal law has preempted us, but if you want to create a remedy on federal law, then you need to create the remedy based upon all of the elements of federal law.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further discussion on the Joint Conference Report before the sponsor stands? Seeing none, Senator Case.
Mr. President, without objection, I would move to lay back this conference committee report and seek some more guidance.
If there's no objection, the Senate file, the Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 65 will be laid back for further consideration. It is so ordered. Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Yes, I'd like to turn your attention to the back of the room. We do have more fifth grade elementary students from Henderson Elementary. This time, please help me welcome Henderson's fifth grade class from Paul Hartigan's fifth grade class.
Here. Here.
Senator Cooper, are you ready? With respect, you are. Would the reading clerk please read in the message regarding Senate File 45?
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, Senate File 45, Rural Health Care Districts Authority, reference House Message Number 201.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 45, Rural Health Care Districts Authority, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, we went over there to the other side and met with the like committee, and about 3 minutes they decided the error of their ways and agreed on the Senate position. So what they were trying to do originally is to delete the amendment that we had put on page 17, lines 12 through 23, and also page 18, lines 1, where we had actually removed a piece that said that the district had to go back every 4 years and ask for the 2 mil levy. Well, of course, that creates a great deal of instability for, particularly like for a hospital or such, or a healthcare district. So, and that's been the norm in recent years for the districts to have a clause in there to say that actually if someone doesn't like that or objects to the mill levy, you can see on page 17, lines 17 through 23, how we talk about they can have a 10% a petition of signed by not less than 10% of the voters in the district and appeal to the county commission, and they could call for an election. That makes it so that the district has a little bit more stability because, you know, if you're hiring doctors and nurses or trying to commit to build a building and so forth, if you know that you're only going to have 4 years and you try to hire a doctor 3 years into it, they're not going to want to stay around or even hire on with you. So this gives us stability. And that was our amendment that we sent over to the House. Well, the House decided that they didn't like this. They wanted to go back to the original language. So they struck that, put it back to the original language. We met in conference committee with them, and they decided, no, our idea was a better idea. So we completely struck the House amendment and went back to the Senate's position, Mr. Chairman. So stand for any questions.
Senator Burns.
So, Mr. President, if I understand the explanation, that the bill is back to the way it was when it left the Senate, so why, instead of us having to vote on that, why didn't the House just recede from its previous position?
Senator Cooper, did you have that discussion?
Mr. President, we did not enter my mind. Sorry.
All right. So the chair rules as follows. In the event that you find yourself with one House simply receding from its position and they were the last to act, they could recede from their position. But I don't think there's any prohibition that you would write a conference report which constitutes a rescission and requires voting on both sides. So because they chose to solve the problem through a conference committee report requiring adoption in both houses of the elimination, that being the process, we can vote on this, and if the conference committee report is adopted on the other side, that will become the final bill. But the good senator from Sheridan is correct. If you had arrived at this and realized that they were simply receding from they could have gone back and receded to the House position, then there would not be two votes required. It would only be one vote required on the House side. But Senator Scott, would you agree with that analysis?
Yes. Yes, Mr. President, we've done it both ways in the past, and doing this way, in some ways, a little less embarrassment for the other House. It works either way, Mr. President.
Okay. So it does appear that it works both ways. The conference committee report is before you. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 45, and you've been asked to vote aye. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 45 as reflected in House Message Number 201, and the chair does determine that that's an appropriate face-saving method accomplishing the task. Are we done? I think we're at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act Number 32.
Senate Enrolled Act No. 32 being Original Senate File 9, an act relating to railroad quiet zones.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act No. 32 being Original Senate File No. 9. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act No. 36.
House Enrolled Act No. 36 being Original House Bill 75, an act relating to professions and occupations.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act No. 36 being Original House Bill No. 75. I so signed. House Enrolled Act No. 37.
House Enrolled Act No. 37 being Original House Bill No. 85, an act relating to higher education.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act No. 37 being Original House Bill No. 85. So signed. House Enrolled Act No. 38.
House Enrolled Act No. 38 being Original House Bill No. 107, an act relating to real property.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act No. 38 being Original House Bill 107. So signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do, but may I appear to the floor before we begin?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. The other day when we were talking about House Bill 50, members of the Senate, the question was asked about the reduction they had taken, and I want to report to you, Mr. President, that our management council bill for the appropriation for the legislature experienced a 3.6% reduction. We have added back 0.7% into that, so now it's a 2.5% reduction. If you recall, we did two additions in the House and we did one in the Senate. I just wanted to pass that on for everybody's information, Mr. President. With that, Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 6. Return of victim's property held as evidence. House Bill 19, statewide student assessment. House Bill 50, appropriation for the legislature. House Bill 53, special district task force. House Bill 81, drug court surcharge. House Bill 95, abandoned gift certificates and value cards, sunset repeal. House Bill 97, wolf depredation compensation. House Bill 114, public assistance eligibility. House Bill 117, pesticide applicator certification program funding. House Bill 118, foster care and permanency additional requirements, and House Bill 140, attorneys at law amendments.
Would any of the members like any of the foregoing bills removed from the consent list? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I'd like House Bill 6 removed.
House Bill 6 is removed from the consent list. Would any members like any of the other bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 19, statewide student assessment. House Bill 50, appropriation for the legislature. House Bill 53, special districts task force. House Bill 81, drug court surcharge. House Bill 95, abandoned gift certificates and value cards, sunset repeal. House Bill 97, wolf depredation compensation. House Bill 114, public assistance eligibility. House Bill 117, pesticide applicator certification program funding. House Bill 118, Foster Care and Permanency Additional Requirements, and House Bill 140, Attorneys at Law Amendments. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer? Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Meyer?
Excused.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 19, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Meyer excused. Any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 19, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 50, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Meyer excused. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 50, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 53, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Scott, no. Perkins, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no.
Nicholas, no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Meyer, aye. Closing vote. Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 53, 22 aye, 8 no. House Bill 81, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Meyer, aye. Case, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no.
Nicholas, no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 81, 23 aye, 7 no. House Bill 95, are there any changes? Meyer, aye. Perkins, no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 95, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 97, are there any changes? Coe, aye to no. Scott, conflict. Meyer, aye. Perkins, no. Ross, aye to no. Von Fladern, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Nicholas, no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 97. 17 aye, 12 no, 1 conflict. House Bill 114. Are there any changes? Meyer, aye. Closing vote. Dockstetter, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 114, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 117, are there any changes? Meyer, aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 117, 30 aye. House Bill 118, are there any changes? Meyer? Meyer, aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 118, 30 aye. House Bill 140. Are there any changes? Meyer? Meyer, no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 140, 29 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bills 19, 50, 53, 81, 95, 97, 114, 117, 118, and 140 have all passed the Senate. House Bill 6, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 6, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, sponsored by Representative Pownall, an act relating to the Victim and Witness Bill of Rights.
Any discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I'd urge the body to vote no on this bill as proposed, as amended. It changes the flow from a focus of protecting the victims, witnesses' rights, their property, and able to get their property back in a timely manner as soon as possible, and now puts the suspect and their attorney in the control chain of the victim's property. I think it opens it up. A shrewd, clever attorney could look at this and take opportunity with it. It may influence a plea agreement. It may influence sentencing. It may influence all kinds of things. When we talk about that, when we think about the intent of this bill as originally proposed, was allow people to get the tools of their trade back, maybe valuable property. But as amended, this changes it significantly, so I'd encourage a no vote.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, if it isn't perfect right now, process contends with things that if we're so far from the House position, we can probably come back in and find some middle ground. In fact, I had thought that there were some middle ground that was submitted by the trial lawyers, and I thought that was going to come forth as a third reading amendment, but I don't see it brought forth. That would probably fix this, Mr. President. So I would ask that we vote aye. We've got plenty of time to make this thing right. If we don't get it right, we can always vote no on concurrence. So I would ask the body to vote aye.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Perkins.
When you look at this, it's the placement of this bill is in the Victims' Bill of Rights. And we passed the Victims' Bill of Rights, oh, it's been some time ago, and we've added to it over time. And so it's as you look at that, it's as you look at the victims and witnesses in the Bill of Rights, there's a series of good things in there. There are really great things in there. And certainly, as we've had this discussion, that when a person is a victim of a crime, that the crime is actually prosecuted. And if you look at the title on any caption, it'll be the state of Wyoming versus, you know, Joe or John Smith or whoever it is. And so it's a victim. So the victims kind of sometimes end up in the sidelines and in the backgrounds. And witnesses can also somewhat be victimized because their property or their time or their effort and time away from work and other things, there's other infringements that come up on witnesses and victims because of their civic and sometimes they're compelled to testify regarding those crimes. And so it imposes an imposition on them. And so when you look at this bill, and the intent is to get it back, and so the bill is a worthy and noteworthy accomplishment. It's a process by which you may be able to get it back sooner or later. Now, typically, I can tell you that usually it's not till after trial. If there's property, there's evidence that's not left for trial and appeals have been exhausted, and once it's clear that the evidence is no longer needed, if it's property, then it's released. It goes back to the victims. And so the intent of the bill is to simply get it back to them a little bit quicker if it's not needed to in the prosecution of the case. But as the way that the bill came to us, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, was that it simply said that who gets to make that decision? Who gets to decide where that evidence and gets to end the imposition on the victim or the witness? And the problem was that it was just the prosecutor. The prosecutor determined if whether it was admissible or not. Well, they don't really do that. There are things, judges make those decisions, whether things are admissible or inadmissible, and they rule on that, and the parties move on and go along with that. And so then we came back and about... Then the biggest issue seemed to be about whether or not a photograph of the property would deem to be important. And there's many times that would be sufficient. A photograph would be sufficient. But there are those instances where it's not right. Those instances where the actual piece of property is important because, as the good chairman of appropriations talked about the other day, it becomes the best evidence. That doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, if you go into trial, the exhibits are copies and pictures and things like that. But once in a while, it makes a difference. For example, sometimes if there's a writing in different ink, you can't see the ink. You can't see that different ink was used to insert or change a word because it doesn't show up in the picture. You have to see the original to understand and see that maybe this ink is in there, and so that's a fraud or the document was changed. And so there's those times that it becomes important that that evidence actually be there and that inconvenience to the parties continue because that evidence is the best evidence. And so the bill, as it comes to you now, simply insert it and let everybody have a fair chance. If you were the defendant in that crime, you were accused of that crime and wrongly accused, and that piece of property was important to the defense of your case, wouldn't you want to have some say on whether or not that property is returned to the victim and is lost for your use? Wouldn't you want at least to have... You agree, and if they can't agree, you could go to the judge and the judge could decide, but wouldn't you want to have that opportunity if you were the accused and wrongly accused to have that evidence available? That balance was struck, and I think that the balance that was offered by my good friend from Goshen County, I think that was the second reading member number two, was that language that came in and was adopted by this body. So you can vote this bill up or vote it down, But when it comes back, you'll still have to grapple with the same issue. Should the defendant have an opportunity to make sure that the best evidence is available when they're defending against their life and liberty?
Need for the discussion. Senator Christensen.
Chairman, Mr. President, you know, the good senator from the center of the state makes a good point. Just remember, the original language where this comes from is the Victim's Bill of Rights. If you'll recall, yesterday I pointed out that paragraph A, the whole focus is on the victims getting their property back as soon as possible. That was the original intent. But amended, let me take you through a possible scenario, and some people would say this would never happen. But there are those in the room that do know that the plea agreement process is interesting and takes many paths. But by this bill, as it is amended today, should that go all the way through, all of a sudden, the victim now has a scenario where they have some hope. And you know how, and the suspect's attorney has control of that hope. And it paints a false picture, and it could very well influence an outcome for a plea agreement, for a case. Today, the bill, the law as it stands, says when the case is decided, they get their property back, and there's not opportunity for what could possibly be a manipulation, a re-victimization of a victim. And so I suggest we put this one aside, vote no, and we can deal with it another year, come back and look at it and see if there's some better language.
House Bill number 6, third reading of the bill, roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Esquivel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 15 aye, 15 no.
Having Senate file or House Bill 6, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 6 has failed the Senate. Failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 29, third reading of the bill.
House Bill 29, Revisers Bill, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, sponsored by the Management Council.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, that is the Revisers Bill. There's a couple of issues hanging out there. I'd like to lay that back and do it a little later today.
Okay, without objection. House Bill 29 is laid back to later in the today, the morning, afternoon. The Conference Committee for House Bill number 21, I think that's the state public purposes, is as follows. Burns, Chairman, Wasserberger, and Hastert. Are there any messages? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk for now.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Any announcements? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inform the members of the Senate that there are project tours if you wish to go over to the Hersler and the Connector and the Capitol and see the work that's being done. That'll be you'll be led through a tour by our state Chick-fil-A guy. Yeah. Yeah, be careful on them. You know, it'd be better if it was like, you know, Taco Tony or somebody. But being led by our owner's rep and our hired individuals from MOCA, the project tour this afternoon at noon recess, you'd meet in room 1699. There will also be a project tour upon adjournment, and you'll meet in room 1699. And then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. there'll be a tour, and once again you meet at 1699. I also have available here, if anybody wants them, highlights of the project documents and a summary of the report of the oversight group. Anybody wants them, please help yourself. They're back here for your edification and stuff that you can take back with you. If you want to talk to your constituents about what's going on with the Capitol, this will help you. No, it's just noon recess today and upon adjournment, and then 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee will be meeting Thursday at 9 a.m. in Jonah Business Center Room S27 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Management Council will meet today upon adjournment in L54 to discuss interim topics and other items on the agenda. And we will be done in time to go to Laramie for the basketball game.
That's good. Any further announcements? There being none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion's been adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.